Hello and welcome to What's So Great About the Podcast that is willing to lug its subject halfway across the country in order to find out the answer of what really makes the topic so great. My name's Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, how the hell are you?
Very, very well. And you?
I doing well.
Good to hear it, pal.
Hey.
Great intro again. Yeah. Do you actually plan those?
No.
That's incredible.
Literally, like, what happened in the movie? Oh.
I would stumble so hard, especially coming in cold.
He's got to let it flow, man. He's got to let it flow.
Colour me impressed. What you got there, Terry?
I have a Pepsi Max, courtesy of this place, CMG.
That's right. Here at CMG Studios, we spare no expense. That's kind of my eyes closed and everything. Oh, you're really enjoying that.
That is cold-blooded. Yeah.
How the bloody hell have you been?
Good. Yeah.
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 Good.
What have I been up to since I saw you last?
We've been very quiet on the old messages this week, haven't we?
Busy. Sick kids and, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Had to take a sick day back in the last week.
Yeah.
Because Faye also had gotten sick.
He's gone around.
Yeah. So I was at home on Friday.
Ooh. How was that?
Yeah, it was fine. But, like, you know, kids are sick, but they were amenable to me, and Faye was able to get a bit of rest, and I was real super dad.
Nice.
For a day. And then I...
Locking in those points.
Reverted to the norm of being...
Well, yeah.
Secondary parent, of course.
Can't keep this up every day. You having a laugh?
I tell you what I did, though.
Yeah?
I built something. I built a box.
Go on.
I built an all-weather box that I was very excited about.
Okay, so what?
I bought the box and they sent it to me.
Oh, you bought the box?
Yeah, okay. And they send it to you and you have to build it yourself.
Okay, okay.
So then I built the box and then I was able to put stuff outside in the box and then it would be okay from all the bad weather.
Like kids' toys and stuff?
No, it was like tiles, like spare bathroom tiles. Because I didn't want to get rid of them in case we want to do something to the bathroom down the line.
See, there's me picturing you just finding wood and measuring, cutting, sanding.
Not these it's days.
Like, so they sent you the parts with carefully laid out instructions and you followed them.
Clip it together.
Clip together even better.
Hurt my hand doing it. I'm like, oh, no.
But you know what? There is a real sense of satisfaction.
What was more satisfying was that I was able to... Like, it took me like 10 minutes to put together. But then I was able to clear out the utility room of all these tiles that I had wanted to get rid of for ages. And now it's
you got spare tiles?
Yeah, you want some tiles?
Oh, I think I might want some tiles.
Yeah, remember that one you picked up for me?
Yeah, that kind?
Yeah.
That's
big.
Nice.
They're big.
How many you got?
I got enough.
How many? Have you got 10?
Yeah, roughly.
We'll talk shop after the pod. My tiles have fallen off the wall in my bathroom.
Now, are they big or are they small?
They're small.
I have a bunch of small ones.
Hmm.
White?
White's good.
Okay.
I'll
get you a quote
for the car ride home.
Yeah. Otherwise, the weekend was very quiet. Fucking international break was on, so I couldn't even enjoy the football.
I tell you. Now, I wasn't going to do, if I can change the conversation back to me.
Mm-hmm. As always.
Of course. Yeah. I wasn't going to make a little YouTube vid this week because it was the international break. I thought, I'll take a week off. But would I have been a fool to do that? Because I did one. And it's like got like nearly as most views any of my vids have ever got.
You're really into the like numbers.
Oh, I'm a numbers man.
Yeah.
I want to see that algorithm kick in. I want to see that graph go from where to shong.
How does it, you know, I'll never understand it.
Well, thank you for asking. First of all, you got to have an effective thumbnail and title. You want to get that click through rate to start pretty high. And then with these, and then if that's a high rate, then they'll push it out to other people. And then that brings your click-through rate down a little bit because the people that don't know you from Adam. And
why don't you put this to use for our podcast?
We're not on YouTube.
Why don't we go
it
on YouTube?
I tell you what, if I get that auto-editing software back in that just chops it all up,
You do it for a video file for Instagram?
Huh?
You do a video file to put on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
So why don't you just put that on YouTube?
Just like as a short?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could do that. I mean, you don't make any money from shorts, really.
Oh, do you not?
Well, you do, technically, but it's pittance. You get like...
I mean, it's better note than I'm sitting on over here.
I would like to actually start the YouTube channel up proper for the pod.
Hey, man.
You know, I may actually go back and use some of that sweet Patreon cash and get that auto-editing software.
Like, can you just buy it, or do you have to, like, buy a subscription?
Subscription.
What a jip.
That's how they get you.
You can't buy, like, an Adobe.
No. Adobe's out the wazoo with subscriptions.
Whatever.
I tell you, in the editing biz, a lot of people are turning away from Adobe Premiere Pro, and they're going with DaVinci Resolve, which is free.
So why don't you go with that first?
It's a whole new learning curve. I know, Adobe. I don't pay for it. The company pays for it. I use it way more for personal use. Yeah. But here's a question for you.
Sure.
Do you, as you may or may not know, probably by the time this episode goes out, it'll be on, the toy show is on Friday night.
Yep. Now, It's too early.
I don't know if it's the older I get, but I fucking hate the toy show. I hate the toy show so much. And I feel like it's one of these things that's like, is anyone actually looking at this and thinking, yeah, that's good? You know, like, just because it used to be this pretty, like, started what, in the 70s? Like, 70s, 80s, 90s.
It's been around since I can remember, like, you know?
And, like,
so.
Joni says that she wants to watch it and that she likes it, but she doesn't. First of all, it's on way too late. It's on 9:30.
Yeah.
To what? 2 a.m. or something mental. Like
it
that.
Is 12:30 or something. Yeah. Crazy. Like, I remember watching it and being like, oh, I can't stay up. I have to go to bed. Like,
it's boring. It's so boring.
I mean,
it really annoys me that it's become this cultural, like, and if you don't like it, it's like, oh, what's wrong with you? You don't watch the toy
you
show.
You don't like Forrest Gump?
We're getting our matching pajamas and we're watching the toy show.
Like, the matching pajamas thing, I'm like, that guy is trying to make up for something. Like, he has done something wrong.
You know?
She has some dirt on him or something.
He's got his balls in a vice. Although, to be honest, if I came home and Kerry's like, here, I got you some pajamas, I'd be like, cool. And I would just put them on and
like,
nothing.
And you're like, wait, why do we all look the same?
I hope she doesn't find out about that thing I did. But yeah, I don't know, I have a big issue with the toy show at the minute because I just find, I didn't, and Joni said to me during the week, she's like, I liked the guy who just left. I liked him. I'm like, Ryan Tuberty.
Yeah.
I'm like, you idiot. He's terrible. No, it wasn't like that. But I was like, oh, I actually didn't like
everything
him.
Okay.
Don't. I got to take a drink. No, but I was like, because I kind of thought Tubbs was kind of like, sort of not, I thought he was kind of mean to the kids.
Yeah.
You
like,
know what I mean?
And like some people
like wink,
oh,
wink at the adults. Doesn't know what she's doing here.
Remember when he swore?
Yeah. I just, his mask is slipping.
I mean, he's gone.
He's gone now, yeah.
Thank fuck. But, it'd be interesting to see what PK is like.
Guilty?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say he'd be actually all
he's
right.
He's pretty affable, like, you know.
I like him personally more than the last few lately.
Now, I haven't watched it since the first night that he was on.
Yeah.
And the first night...
It's bad. It's a bad show. The toy show is bad. Let's stop pretending like it's not, you know?
It's hard. It's hard to not, like, any of these... I used to watch Graham Norton. I used to watch Jonathan Ross.
Yeah.
And maybe it is just an age thing that I'm like, I don't want to watch these shows anymore. Like,
do you know what I find it is with those? Graham Norton, a lot of his clips sometimes comes up on my TikTok if I'm scrolling. And because I watch them, then I get shown more. But
That's how they get you.
And here's the thing, right? The algorithm now knows you better than you know yourself. Even if you... Because I've noticed, I'm like, I don't think I've liked one of these posts or followed, but they keep showing them to me because they're like, well, he's staying here.
He's looking for 5 seconds.
He's checking out the comments. Then he's moving on. And I might tell myself, no, I don't like that. But the algorithm knows me better than I know myself.
It's the same on Twitter where it's like, you click in to one comment off a person.
Mm.
And I'd never seen, like, there was something to do with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
I don't know if you see, like, all the stuff that's happening in America. Like, it's to do with the Israel-Palestine war that's going on. The genocide, let's call it what it is.
Yeah, let's call it
But it was like, I don't know if you saw any of those new Scream movies.
No.
The main actress from that has been fired because she was like questioning why she doesn't see any like Palestine side of the story in the media.
Right.
And they're like, she's being anti-Semitic, she's fired. Susan Sarandon has been dropped by her talent agency because she was like doing a pro-Palestine like speech at a peaceful protest, And there was this woman who like worked for the CAA.
They got the balls to fire Susan Sarandon.
I know, like,
how dare they?
I'll kill them.
I'll kill all of you, especially those of you on the jury.
But there's this woman who was like the president of CAA, which is like a huge talent agency.
Yeah.
And she was kind of vocal, like pro-Palestine.
Yeah.
Not anti-Israel per se, but like, you know, it's like, let's stop the thing, yeah, whatever. And she was fired from her position as like head of the agency. But the only reason she was allowed to stay on as a agent was Tom Cruise is like her big client,
right?
He like, it's like something out of Entourage.
He vouched for it, did he?
He like hasn't set foot in that office in 10 years, and like he showed up the next day and was like, you're not getting, like, they're not shit canning you, essentially. So like there was this person that like shared the story,
yeah,
and I was like, oh, that's really like cool. It's like, ah, you know, it's like, say what they want about my man the cruiser, you know, he's weird, and
sure, he's weird,
and a lot of bad stuff probably going on in that Scientology, but he stood up for somebody he liked. Anyway, I clicked on that person's to see the comments or whatever, and then it was like, now every day on the timeline, it's like more, and it's not, I'm not like offended by any of the stuff they put on, but I'm like, why is this happening? Why am I seeing this?
Yeah.
On my For You thing.
The For You has gone off the charts on Twitter. And the worst thing about
Twitter,
I kind
of like it more than my following, because I come across so many random things. Like that Stephen A. Smith clip.
Yeah. that was great.
With cars. I was like, I never would have come across that.
Yeah, you got 7 piston cups. You thought you were going to get me on that one, didn't you?
He's like, he has 7 piston cups. He's like,
I'm not about to sit here and argue with a grown-ass man about the movie Cars.
He's like, but they mean a lot to little kids. You're not a little kid. What, are you wearing a diaper?
He's actually really funny.
Unhinged. Man.
Yeah, like I follow him, and like every time the Cowboys lose, like I don't even know the context, but like he always just posts a video of himself like wearing, like he's always slagging the Cowboys, and it's like he'll have this video on, but like the camera will just cut to him all the, like it's him on his phone, and he'll be like, yeah, I thought you were going to win, and he just keeps going like, yeah, like he just completely like trolls them. But the thing about Twitter I find now is like, one of the things I like most about social media,
yes,
and there's not many, but one of the things I like most is like, if there's a funny post, I usually look at the comments and see, because like sometimes there's a really funny little follow-up in the comment. But now it's just completely unrelated memes.
That's
the first,
it,
like, you have to get like the first 10 or 15 not relating to anything to do with the post.
Hey.
You have to scroll through them all, and then you finally get something.
Here's something.
Yeah?
I was
accepted
to the land where the skies are blue, Andy.
What does that mean?
I'm on Blue Sky.
What's that?
It's like the new thing that your man Jack has set up. It's like new Twitter.
Oh.
But you have to like get a code to be invited.
Oh, yeah, like invite only.
Yeah. So, and I don't have any codes yet. They'll give me codes if I'm there longer.
So if I am the son of a Blue Sky member, or save the life of a Blue Sky member, then I'll get one too.
Apparently it's like, because it's like, it's to stop random, becoming a cesspool like Twitter was, essentially.
Hmm.
So like I signed up for like the mailing, the like the access list ages ago.
Is there many on it?
There's like a lot of people that I follow have like they've stopped using their Twitter and they're using the Blue Sky
or Threads. A lot of people are using.
Yeah, it's not available. I don't like that Threads.
It's not available here. I have no idea what it even looks like.
I've seen that. That's why I didn't bother downloading, because it's not available here now.
No, it's still
I don't like the look of it, for like, because like people like post screenshots of their Threads on Instagram.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, I don't like that. Blue Sky is
user interface.
Yeah, Blue Sky is just like Twitter, but it's just like. I've no followers because nobody knows me over there. I'm probably the only one.
Twitter is so like,
you're on Blue Sky. Hey, give me a follow.
Blue Sky. Hey, give him a follow and give me a code. I find Twitter is just such a like.
I'm never leaving.
It's always on the negativity side. So that, to the point where like that was why we were saying before, where I was like, oh, I don't like sharing clips on Twitter. Like even like the YouTube stuff, I don't mind it being out anywhere else, but like. Every time I've put a clip up on Twitter, I delete it because I'm just too like, no. Because everyone just is out. I feel like everyone's just out to get you on Twitter.
It's all,
you
know what I mean? Negative.
It's not good natured.
But like there's some stuff on it that like.
But I'm on it all the time.
I'm on it all the time. I'm like, I'm adamant that I'm like, why would I leave here? Why would I, like, you get the thing somebody put together like at the end of Oppenheimer, like literally the last scene of Oppenheimer with like Linkin Park from the, you know,
oh, I've seen that, yeah, yeah.
It's like, what? Yeah. And I was like, why would I leave here? Like, I get this stuff here, like, you know?
It's definitely changed, and a lot of things have changed for the worse, but it's definitely, it shows you a bit more of your interests now. You know what I mean? I mean, with all the other shit, but like,
kind of like,
you know, like the fact that they've even got a For You page. It's mad how like TikTok can come out and they have a For You page. They were the first ones, and they have this auto just scrolling. It's not, you know, it's just like you don't know what you're going to get next. And then it's like Instagram, just like they did with Snapchat when they brought in stories. It was just like, we'll just do this too. And so it's like, now it's Instagram Reels, and it's literally the exact same.
I'm like,
and now Twitter, now we've got a For You. Like, it's so blatant. It's like, we're also doing that.
There's no regulation. Like, it's not copyrighted. No. Like, you know?
You know? I mean, TikTok, I think. TikTok is still the best one.
I'm not on it.
You know what? You're probably better off.
I get a lot of my TikTok on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
that was what made me go on TikTok, is because I'm saying, God, I'm seeing so many funny TikToks here. And then you realize, oh, well, it's not all funny, but...
So a lot of them aren't funny that I'm seeing.
No, but TikTok is the best one, I think, for knowing you better. Like, knowing what you like and showing you more of it, you know?
And it's mad, like I was saying, I had to log into my Facebook a little while ago.
Yeah.
And like, how, like, nobody, like,
no.
That I know, like, maybe my mom or my dad.
Yeah, my mom's on it.
Is she on it? Like, yeah. Is she active on it? Like,
yeah, only because I had to log back into my Spotify because it's connected to my Facebook for whatever reason. And I just seen a post from them. I'm like, oh, Jesus. What are you doing here? Yeah.
Hello? It's like, you open the door to Facebook. Like, Andy!
Hey! It's like just holding all these thumbs up. I got all these notifications for you.
Like, close the
Someone dog. You may know is here.
Close the door.
Get out.
You know what I miss, though?
Yeah.
You know what I miss about Facebook?
Go on.
They would tell you when it's somebody's birthday.
Yes.
And I'm fucking terrible for birthdays. I would always be like, hey, Facebook told me it's your birthday. Like, I'd make a joke out of it. So, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Or, like, true. The only way now is like somebody, if I'm in a group, is like, happy birthday, man. I'm like,
yeah.
I have like five, my brain can hold 5 birthdays outside my family.
You got mine? Yeah. You got mine in there, one of the 5?
Yeah.
One of the Fab 5?
Yeah.
Yes, man.
We only celebrate Bastille Day there in my house. I got A-Rai, I got Brian. I got coffee because it's Halloween. That's very easy.
Easy.
And yeah, you know, like,
I find like I'm still on the group chat for the jiu-jitsu place that I haven't gone to in years. Just like one of those. Like,
you're a lurker.
Keeping. I'm a lurker. But like, even like, when I was posting, it was like, if it's someone's birthday or someone wins a medal in a competition or something, it's kind of like, you know.
You can't post then though, surely.
No, I don't. So yeah. I don't do anything on it. But, it was like,
happy birthday, buddy. Yeah. Like,
where have you been?
You're still here. Get the hell out of here.
Well, it's kind of like, I kind of find after like the 10th or 12th happy birthday message.
Gotta get in quick.
Yeah, like if you're later than that, I'm like, ah, I've missed the onslaught of.
Unless you're going to make a joke out of it. Like, yeah. If it's,
let me be the first to say, yeah, you know, yeah, something like that. But yeah, got anything else going on?
Not particularly.
Want to talk about this movie, Terry?
Hey, all right, yeah.
All right, let's do it.
During holiday travel, some people get delirious.
Taxi!
Some get delayed. And some get Del Griffin.
American light and fixture, director of sales, shower curtain ring division.
Neil Page got all 3.
I was on my way home to spend a nice holiday with my family. Instead, I'm in a motel bed with a stranger.
So instead of Thanksgiving with his family, he's spending 3 days with the turkey.
Two happy clams just whistling down the road.
Flintstones, meet the Flintstones. They're the Marconi family.
Paramount Pictures presents
Wilma!
Steve Martin.
Ever been to Hawaii?
Yeah.
You see Don Ho while you were there?
See the second show, that's the best one.
Is that right?
Yeah.
John Candy.
Why are you holding my hand? Where's your other hand? Between two pillows.
Those aren't pillows.
In a new film by John Hughes. Planes, trains, and automobiles.
See that Bears game last week?
Yeah, hell of a game, hell of a game.
That was the trailer for 1987's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, written and directed by Mr. John Hughes. Now, Andy,
Derry?
Care for some boif?
Please.
Hit me with the budget.
1987. I am going to say the budget was 10 million.
15 million.
That's 10%.
Yeah.
Fuck.
AC did say 10%.
He did.
Box office opening.
Opening, I would say 15 million.
10 million.
Fuck. Okay.
There's no international
okay.
data for me to scoop. But there is domestic total.
I would say 28 million.
A healthy 49.5 million.
Wow.
That's a 5Xer. No, a 3Xer, excuse me.
Nice.
Yeah. Pretty good.
So they made the money back and then some.
Rotten Tomatoes?
Critics, I will say 89.
92. You got it. Audience?
Audience 89.
87. So these Rotten Tomatoes are saving your ass.
They are. Yeah. And they're nothing. They're meaningless.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the secret of zip codes. They're meaningless.
Some IF, interesting facts.
Please.
John Hughes has said that he was inspired to write this screenplay after an actual flight he was on from New York to Chicago got delayed. It was diverted to Wichita and it took him 5 days to get home.
Jeez.
Oh my lord.
5 days.
Sounds awful.
There's so many times during this movie where I thought, like, I think I would just cry, you know, at the helplessness of just like, we're never going to get out of here.
It's not like you have your mobile to like ring.
Yeah.
Like the poor wife, I was like,
no
she hasn't heard from him in 2 days. Like,
I'm like, oh, I would just cry.
Hughes kept rewriting the script as he went and shot almost everything he had written, meaning that the first cut of the film was a whopping 3 hours and 45 minutes long.
Wow, you loved it.
I mean, this comes in at that brisk 93. I'm happy, you know,
yeah.
to get it cut down
wow.
that much. Apparently, the scene in the bedroom where they stop in the motel for the first
yeah.
night, the original length of that was 45 minutes.
I mean, that's too long.
The editor was like, this is like act one. We can't have a scene, like a whole piece that's 45
yeah.
minutes.
No,
cause it was like they said it was almost like a play within the first act.
Yeah.
A short play. Like,
I mean, I'm sure it'd be great for the... Do you know what? Why don't they have... This is the one thing that they really lost when DVDs kind of started losing their...
I miss it, man.
Why don't, like, Netflix or some streaming thing have play movie, more like this, extra features or something like that?
So I still buy Blu-rays.
Like, why can't they do that? People would love that.
Because they're
stupid.
Bloopers,
deleted scenes, making of... You know,
like Netflix is cheap. That's the whole thing with Netflix.
Is it?
No, but like
cheap for their cheap.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. you know what I mean? Like do it as cheap as possible. The Netflix resolution, the 4K or the whatever, what's it, 1080? Not really.
Yeah.
They'll tell you it's 1080. Mm. But then within that resolution, it's not. That's why I buy my 4Ks, you know?
You
can get that
pop. The difference.
A pop.
All right. They got me on pop filters.
Kevin Bacon's appearance in the film
yeah.
came about as he had just finished shooting She's Having a Baby with Hughes, and he said that he didn't want his experience working with him to end because he was basically playing a John Hughes character. Like,
right.
Hughes mentioned that he had a new movie opening with Steve Martin and John Candy, and Bacon's response was, "Put me in it, please. I'll do anything. I'll be an extra on set." He's like, and it turns out I was an extra with a trailer.
Yeah.
Which I thought, I was like, oh, you know, this is strange.
Well, he wasn't really an extra, was he? Like,
you know, lines.
No, but he had acting
yeah.
to do.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't
make
just
a little
background
face
character.
And, like,
oh, the little smile he makes, like, when it's zoomed in so close, it's like the Grinch or something. Like, you just see his face shift.
There was lots of improv courage on set. Most notably, the film's most famous scene. Those aren't pillows.
That was improv?
It was basically the hand between the two pillows line was a John Candy line, and everything that followed from that was improvised.
Right.
So he's like, why are you holding my hand?
Yeah.
The next part was then all John Candy.
Okay.
And apparently the whole thing was they, like, kissing his ear. John Hughes was like, kiss his ear, you know, like just off stage, off,
off screen.
Yeah, just like whispering it, like, okay, try this or whatever like that, right. Which I think is great.
I'd say, yeah, I'd say they had fun making this movie. It looked like
they shot. So the next guy I'm going to talk about is Troy Evans, who is the truck driver at the very end of the film, who's like, he doesn't like people to sit up in the cab with him.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't even see, you barely see his face.
Yeah.
So he was hired to do a day on the for $1,000.
Yeah.
And basically they said, oh, we're actually, the day you're hired for, we're not going to do that till the end of the shoot. So he was like, okay, I'm going to go home. They're like, no, no, like, come with this, we're going to New York. So he like drove the truck to New York and basically stayed on production with them for like 51 days or something like that, getting $1,000 a day. He said, I was sitting at home, I had $300 in my bank account and like out of work, and when I came back from this film I was able to afford to buy a house. And I was like,
wow.
They had like money to burn. Yeah. They seemed like they had the best time. It was different like,
yeah,
economics back then.
Yeah.
But Troy Evans, he basically recalled how while they were filming it, the Oscars were happening, and he was sitting in his hotel room in his underwear getting ready to watch them when his phone rang. And it was John Candy on the other end. And he said, hey, I'm just up in my hotel room. Would you like to come up and watch the Oscars? I'm going to see if Steve Martin's going to show up, maybe John Hughes. And he's like, okay, yeah. And he's like, wow, like, I couldn't believe this is happening. So, you know, got dressed, changed, went up. And then it turns out that, like, none of the big wigs were invited. John Candy had literally put on this big party, paid for everything, for all the below-the-line workers.
Right.
And it was kind of like, that's who John Candy was. You know, he was this guy. I was like, I'll never forget that, because
yeah,
he knew everybody's name and he took the time to like do this lovely gesture. Right? Like,
he seems like a great guy.
Even
when watching the movie, I was like, there's no way he's not a genuinely nice guy.
You know,
unless like, he's like, I mean, he is a good actor, but like, you know, you could just tell.
His daughter has said this was the first time, because this is kind of first major film role.
Was it?
Like, this
first, like, co-lead.
Kind of. Like, he'd been in, you know, Stripes, and he was in the Blues Brothers, and the popping up here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah.
But this is his first one, and it was like, he said, he went and got his hair permed, grew in the muscle. He's like, I'm building this character.
Yeah.
From, and his daughter was like, you could see the difference compared to other gigs, yeah, that he'd worked on or whatever like that. Like, which is really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Andy. What did you think of this movie?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot.
Very enjoyable.
I thought it was funny. I thought there was a couple of bits that I was laughing out loud at. Not a huge amount, but I still enjoyed it from start to finish. Yeah. I enjoyed watching it. You know what? I just loved the world back then.
Of the '80s, man.
Oh my god. Take me back.
I was one.
Like, I was two. Like,
well, give me a time machine and let me go back.
The age I am now,
yeah,
back there, there's just something.
Make a killing.
There's something about movies back then that just, particularly, it doesn't necessarily have to be New York, although it obviously helped that there was parts in New York. I loved New York in the 80s, but just the whole world, the whole airports and car.
Analog, like.
Yes, everything was just, you know, like no phone, just being in diners. Being in cars, you know, literally planes, trains, and automobiles. Mm. Like, all of the things were just so, like, I feel like I miss it. And I wasn't old enough to appreciate it then. But, like, that time before, the pre-internet age,
yeah,
but where it's a bit more advanced. And I don't know. I just found myself just in awe of that whole world. But the movie itself, I thought, like, you know, I had no idea what to expect, because
really,
I actually, in my head, I was picturing scenes from Three Amigos. You know, like, I had no idea, yeah, about this. I just knew John Candy and Steve Martin were in it. So I was just kind of along for the ride. I thought there were some really great scenes. There's a lot of scenes that I realized, like, oh, that's what that pop culture reference is about. Like, the scene where, you know,
I'm an easy target.
Yes.
Yeah, like, that's, and I was like, Family Guy.
And I hate that I know the Family Guy reference first, because, like, I say that to Kerry all the time. Mm. I'm like, if she's like, you know, it isn't in the mood for me or something like that, I'm like, You want to hurt my feelings? Go ahead if it makes you feel better. I'm an easy target. And like, oh, there's...
I like me. My friends like me. That's what I keep saying. Terry likes me.
And I'm like, I'm doing it in the Peter Griffin voice. Yeah. So when I seen that, I was like DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time. I'm like, whoosh. I was like, there it is.
And like...
I was loving
it's a great, scene. It's a great bit.
The way... sorry to interrupt you, but it's like the way he kind of like... What makes that whole bit for me is the little stutter on... He's like, I like me. Yeah. You know, like it's the little like...
But even the build up, like, because like, you know, it... Like John Hughes is kind of like a genius when it comes to like screen.
What's he done?
Oh, like he wrote the screenplay for Home Alone. Didn't direct it, but like he wrote Ferris Bueller. Like he wrote, like they talk about him. I read like an oral history on it, and he was talking about like how the guy he was supposed to direct this movie with, and John Hughes ended up directing and writing it. But he was like, I'd take a nap on the couch. We'd be doing a session. We had to write like 3 pages, and I woke up like 2.5 hours later, and he's like, hand me like 50 pages. And I'm like, what's this? And he's like, sorry, I just wrote this. See what you think. And then he's like, and that turned out to be the first draft of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. We're working on Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And it was like, they say like he'd get into a fugue state of like just like writing this stuff.
Wow.
Like, wrote The Breakfast Club, 16 Candles. Like he's,
he's
the proto.
Is he still alive?
No, he's dead.
When did he die? A while ago?
Yeah, like late 90s, early 2000s, I think. Like,
and was he still writing and doing movies up until...
I don't think so. Like, I think, like, you know...
Mainly 80s stuff?
Yeah, it's like 90s. 80s and early 90s. I think, like, you know...
Really has an unbelievable track record, like...
Crazy, but, like the whole setup of, like, the first scene, your man just, like, not saying a word and, like, looking at... And everybody else, like, looking around, like, I gotta get out of here. Yeah, like, they're yeah. like, huh? You know? Yeah. And then when he's, like, trying to hail the cab... The fact that, and by the way, did you notice, you know, when he's paying off the guy for his cab?
Yeah.
And he's like, the person who paid 50 would surely pay. Yeah. Do you know who that guy is?
No.
From a little movie called Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Who was he?
He's like Jeremy Irons number 2, the big guy.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The gold. When he finds out it's lead, he's like,
yeah.
I think his name was like Targo or Torgo or something yes. like that. I was like, that's got to be him.
Brilliant. Yeah. You know, one of the biggest laughs I actually got was within the first 30 seconds of the movie where he's on one side of the street, Kevin Bacon's on the other side of the street, and they're both running for this cab. Like, first of all, Steve Martin's run is so funny. Like, it's like, arms flailing sort of thing. But, like, he's trying to get by all these people, and there's this guy just dancing, like, in front of him. He has to stop to get around him. It's like the guy's thinking, hey, what are we doing here? Like...
Only in New York.
And it's funny because I came in with the laptop. I didn't watch it on Prime. By the way, the code that you got on your phone, that was me trying to get Access Prime the other day.
Did you get into it?
No, because I didn't. I figured, like, they're going to send Terry. I'm like,
just text me.
I was just like, So I watched it on the laptop. But when I came in, Kerry was watching something and I just put on my headphones.
Do you not use that Chromecast I gave you?
Yeah, I do, but I didn't think I could cast it.
You can cast it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just cast your Chrome tab.
All right.
So if you're watching,
you were saying, just cast
your Chrome tab and maximize it.
No, it was fine though. It was fine. But like within the first 30 seconds, I'm laughing. And I just say, like, I'm sitting there. I'm like, is this cool? And she's like, yeah. It's like, is this cool that I watch this? I'm like, yeah. And so then I put the headphones on, and like within like 20 seconds, I was like, I cracked up laughing at that. I just feel a little tap on my leg, like enjoying the movie. Yeah. It was like, that is funny.
Yeah, that's funny. the first big laugh I had was. Because I love the whole thing of like when he's negotiating with your man, John Candy, like Dale is just like loading up the cab.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's gone. He's like, why? And then he's able to stop him. He's like, that's my cab. Yeah. And like John Candy does this face where he's like, ooh. And I was like, oh, that's pretty funny. And then it was like when they're in the airport and they're sitting across from each other and they're like, he's like, do I know you? And it just like shows like a still of him like, ooh. And it's like, for whatever, like, he obviously is just a funny man, but like just that, like the idea of like just this insert shot of like, that's the memory. He's like, hey, you're the guy that tried to get my cab, you know. And I love how like it is so much of he's like this unwitting chap that like it's just like basically like, oh, I you know, come to think of it, it was pretty easy to get a cab in Russia, or like, you know.
Because at the start, I was like, oh, he definitely took his cab.
And yeah, by accident.
Like, and then I was like, oh, he actually probably didn't know.
Yeah,
you know,
like, that but it, like, it's pretty much all of that, like, yeah, you know, like.
But his whole character is just like, it's just like, it, like, I feel like his character is basically his character from Home Alone.
Yeah.
You know, the poker.
But the poker guy, Gus Polinski, the yes, poker king of the Midwest, is way more, I should have worn my Gus Polinski t-shirt.
There you go.
He's way more settled within himself or something, like, you know.
In Home Alone.
Yeah. In this one, he's like, you know.
And that as well, I know I'm probably going to jump a little bit around, if that's all right.
Yeah, it's all right, yeah.
But the whole thing of, like, you know, there's something up with his wife.
They dropped these little clues there. Yeah.
But the whole scene, it was so heartbreaking. And he's such, like,
It's his best performance.
Think so,
I think so. I think so.
I'm not too familiar with his game, as they say, but
I mean, you know,
I seen Uncle Buck when I was a kid. I don't really remember it. Is that any good?
It's class.
Is
it's
it?
Really, okay. It's really class. Like,
I'd love to actually see that again.
Like, that's one. Watching this,
I didn't
Christmas.
Really like it. Yeah, I didn't really like it as a kid.
Like the first scene, the first scene of him and Uncle Buck, where it's like the parents have to go away.
Yeah,
it's like, don't worry though, your uncle is coming. And it's like he's across the street. He's like ringing the bell at the wrong house. Like, come on, quit fooling around, let me in there. And then it's like, they're like, Buck. He's like, oh. But it's like 1 o'clock in the morning or something. He's like ringing the doorbell, like, quit fooling around in there.
I can picture it already. Yeah, that's like, perfect. Or like, but the whole, like the scene where he's telling him, he's like, you're gonna get to grow old with your, and like the look on his face is just like, and it's so like powerful, but it's so subtle the way he looks. Like, it's not overacting, and the way comic actors may do it a little bit extra, like, he just has this, it's all in the eyes, where you're just like, oh man.
There's a clip you should watch, because it's like, if you just search it on Twitter, it's like John Candy JFK.
Yeah,
like, he's in JFK, and it's like him and Kevin Costner sitting across from the table, and it's like Candy's like basically like telling them all this conspiracy shit, and it's like you've never seen him before, and right. I'm like, geez, he's acting circles around Costner here. He's like, who's the movie star? He's like it's in New Orleans. He's like really like shiny with sweat, and he's like, I'll tell you what, like, he's smoking and he has like black shades on. I'll tell you what, Daddy-O, this is what's going on here. And I'm like, what? Like, bring the fastball here. Like, I don't know. Like, I like his biggest one is probably Cool Runnings. He's ostensibly,
that was like his last one, wasn't
that it? Wagons East was his last one, and
first big movie that was Cool.
Yeah, I remember seeing the like in video scene, the tape of like Wagons East. I was like, oh, I have to see this. Now, we never ended up renting it because it was like 15s or whatever.
Yeah,
but it's like,
yeah.
I think he's very unwell, and like
right.
He passed away on set, and they reused like footage of him to finish the movie. One of those things, like,
you're fired.
Hey, we're good guys.
Jiminy Jillings. Looks like we're in trouble. Well, that boy.
But like, I guess like the movie, you know, you love a good road trip, and like Steve Martin playing the exasperated man with him, like, you know, you're soon on to, you're going to the motel, whatever, the inn, and it's like this fucking like piece of shit place. They're in the car with like Doobie, who is like Mr. Heckles, Larry Hankin himself. And apparently, like he was saying, like, what they would do with the improv was like, okay, Larry, you're on the script, so you just stick to the script, and John and Steve, you can do whatever you want. And then they do another take, would be like, he's like, okay, Larry, you just improv, and the two guys will stick to the script.
Right.
And then like Larry Hankin was at the premiere, he's like, they just used the takes where we used the script. Like, we shot all that extra film for nothing. Like,
that's where the bonus features should give it.
But like, you have that in the big bedroom scene. Like, when they have that, like, I hadn't seen it in a long time. I was surprised how quickly that scene came into the movie. Like, it's like 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's
minutes.
Like, that's like a halfway into the movie sort of thing.
Yeah, I would have thought, like, or, you know, 2/3. This is the end, you know, the sad time. But like, the Steve Martin, like, he's so good at just like unloading. Yeah. And like John Candy's face, like you say, him taking it and him like being like, you know, like, it's like he's about to say something and then like he's almost like taken aback by each new one.
Yeah.
And then like Steve Martin, like, is so good at like, oh shit, like, I've overstepped the line.
Yeah,
and like, you're kind of like, you're with Steve Martin in that, like, Jesus, this fucking guy.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, yeah. It was absolutely
the bathroom.
The stuff that made him actually get up was just so. I'm like, that's unacceptable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, first of all, he's like just moving around a bit, and then he's like, he's just like, oh come on, like,
oh really? Oh, you know? Oh really? This is too much. So then the next thing is the train, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And like the train thing, I found was just a bit like, oh, the train broke.
Yeah, just like that.
I was like, oh, is it not something that Dell has done? Like, surely it's going to be something Dell did.
Yeah, because you don't see him. Like, what's he been up to?
Yeah, it's like, no.
He's talking the ear off the conductor or something. Like, oh, yeah, we come up here all the time. Yeah. Yeah,
you know, what I actually love about it as well, just with that, it's like, he knows everybody.
Yeah.
He's the type of guy, like, I did something for a guy here. Hold on, I'll, like.
And I kept thinking it was bollocks, and he's like, I sold him some curtain rings. He owes me a favor. Yeah. Like, this guy as well, you also sold curtain rings too. Rings.
But then they get off the train, and it's like, the train, I was expecting more from the train, to be honest. Like, you know? And then, you know, it gets to the point where it's like, oh, I'll help him with his big trunk.
What's in the trunk?
I think it was just all his shit, like, because he's homeless.
Oh, okay.
So, like, he literally travels from place to place with all his shit. Like.
Oh, you didn't even get that.
Because he says that at the end. He's like, I don't have a home.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's, and like, you know, all his wife's stuff and all there.
Yeah.
So you get that, and then it kind of, like, I was like, this is a bit muddled for me, because it's like, he goes over and like helps him with the thing, and it's like, oh, he's back with him because he had his out.
Yeah.
And then they're like at the diner. Your man, he sells all his shower rings as earrings or whatever that. Like, so he gets money for food. And then Steve Martin is like, well, let's just, you know, go our separate ways. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, that, like, kind of felt like I was like
shoehorned in a little bit.
A little, like forward, back. Like, I was just a bit like, you know, that didn't really make sense.
Should this scene have been either earlier or later?
Exactly. Like that. Like, or should we just have gotten rid of that scene where, you know, he's like reluctantly goes back over. I don't know. And then you get to the car, and like he's looking to get his car.
Yeah.
And it's not there.
That I thought was, it was great in the sense of like, because even though he had the little unloading in the motel room, but he's been so pent up for the whole thing. So it really makes that scene work so much, because he never swears or anything like that. And he just goes off.
Your one?
Yeah.
But she's so good as well. She's on the phone. Yeah. And apparently that's all improv as well. Like, and
that's
she's
great.
Like, she's like, you know I can't cook.
Yeah. Gobble, gobble. Yeah.
Like, now, hello. And he's like, the amount of swearing.
I know, was everyone. So, like, I want a fucking car. Right. Fucking
it's the enunciation of the like.
Yeah,
the
everyone,
fuck, you know, like
he unfurls about like 30 fucks.
Yeah,
and then she's like, "You're fucked."
Yeah, it's like I threw it away. So then he's in the car with Dell, and like the car scenes are like. Apparently, that's like Steve Martin said. One of the reasons he signed on was he'd read like two parts of the script. And one of them was the bedroom scene, and one of them was the when John Candy's in the car seat.
That is such great physical comedy. Like the fact that his sleeves get caught by
There was the other part, sorry, where he's like messing with the car seat. Yeah. He's like, argh, like, I just gotta get it just right or whatever. But yeah, then they swap over, and John Candy is driving the car, and I look, it's like it was like Raising Arizona almost, where it was like it was just blackness.
Yeah.
Love that, like where it's just like, oh yeah. You're in the middle of nowhere and it's just black.
Yeah. And it's like, first of all, how is Steve Martin not waking up? Because he's playing that great Ray Charles song. It was so great. And he's like banging on, doing the piano like...
I'm like, put your hands back on the wheel. Like
smoking, like trousers out the window. And then like one sleeve gets caught. He's like, oh. He's trying to get it out.
He didn't get it out the window. That was the other thing. Like
it goes back to the back seat.
Yeah. And is that why he's getting warm?
Think so, yeah.
He's like trying to take the parka off. Like.
So one comes off, and like the way he's just, he's proper like Julian, so hard.
I'm like, what would you do there? Like, do you
just stop the car?
Pull over?
Over. Like, just break. I'm thinking, like, just break. Like, and then when the other sleeve, both his hands are trapped by his side.
He's like steering him with his legs.
And there's so many good scenes. I think the car scenes were one of my favorite. Or were
the car scene, I like almost had an out of body experience where like where you know they get on the wrong
way.
Yeah, and then it's like in between the two trucks.
Yeah,
and like they turn into skeletons at one point. Like, he's the devil. He's like, ah! Like, I was like, that's oh great. My God. Like, so funny.
And that's almost like a John Hughes bit.
Stable,
like,
yeah. Home Alone 2.
Home Alone, yeah. Oh, yes.
And then you kind of, it's, they're driving the car. They have another, like, nice moment. Is it? Oh, yeah, because it was like, he's like, you did it to yourself when the car gets set on fire.
Yeah.
And it turns
out,
like, he paid for it with Steve Martin's card.
All those little bits in the car, like, where they're, like, ah, and, like, their fingers are in the thing, or, like, they're in the hotel room afterwards, and it's like, he's like, I gotta, whatever, grill marks on my ass, and all this, like,
I'm like a beef patty, I'm ready to turn over. But, like, they're like, they sprinkle in the sweet because he's sitting in the car on his own and he's like, God, I miss you. You know, like, I wish you were hearing me now. And he's like, well, we know that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, he's sitting out there. Like, he's going to die.
He's literally
like,
going to die. Yeah.
And then, like, you know, it's nice that they're like, that whole, like, I'm going to Jamaica or like, down to Mexico. Very sweet stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like you say, they kind of get to the end where I love how, apparently they'd shot it differently. And they said it wasn't, the test screening wasn't working because they felt like Dale was like taking advantage of Steve Martin for a lot of it.
Right.
And one of the scenes where he was like, hey, give me your address, I'll pay you back or whatever like that. They took that out because they were cutting down loads, and then they realized, oh, you need that piece in.
Yeah.
But then they said the end where he says, like, I'm homeless, it was like a big like speech. Big dramatic speech, and it was like they pared it down to like three lines because they said they were getting like laughs during it, that it wasn't working. And then they
I
said,
"I kind of wish that they did have more."
I kind of like the way they did it, where it's like Steve Martin is putting the pieces together when he's on the train,
and
you know you're going back, and it's like you say, the stuff he's saying, where he's like, "I haven't been home in years," you know, that all kind of works. And then I love it when he comes back in, and he's like, "What are you doing here?" And he's like, "She's been dead for 8 years."
Do you know, like,
I cried at the end when he comes to the house, and it's like the wife is at the top of the stairs, and she looks at Dale, and the look on his face, because he's about to cry, and I'm about to cry, like, fuck's sake, now I'm crying.
I found,
like, why am I crying?
I found, like, with that it was like, I was a bit sad at the, like, literally the last scene when it's like they're all hugging and all the family's there. This is my dad. This is whatever, and you know. And he shakes his wife's hand and all this, and they're like embracing or whatever. And then you just have Dale just like looking like, and he seems genuinely happy.
Yeah.
But the fact that it freezes on it, I'm just like, ah. Oh. I mean, it's nice that he has someone at this time, but I was kind of a bit like, ah. Like,
yeah, do you think that's it? Then he just stays for Thanksgiving. Hey, by the way, guess what today is?
Thanksgiving?
It sure is. Finally, my scheming and planning come together.
Is it today?
It is today.
I thought it was 25th of November.
It's the last Thursday in November.
Oh.
So today's the 23rd. Right. Well, so, yeah,
gobble,
happy Thanksgiving.
To all our Americans.
Finally.
Listeners.
It fucking
look how happy
lines
it
up, huh?
Well, look, should we finish this up?
Yeah. Okay, give me your Ed Harris.
Ed Harris for Excellence in Acting goes to John Candy.
Sure.
Daniel Plainview Line Reading Award goes to I like me.
Okay.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I love that scene. How about you?
John Candy is Ed Harris. I think the Daniel Plainview line reading is, those aren't pillows. Like, just he's like, great. Why are you holding my hand? He's like, where's your other hand? Like, he's like, in between these two pillows. Like, those aren't, just like, and then they're like,
and you know what I realize now, because like sometimes if I'm in here, like, since I was a teenager, if me and my dad have like a big hug or something like that, he always made a joke of like, how about them bears, huh? You know, like, as in like, all right, let's get back to normal. And it was only when I was watching it, I'm like, oh, that's the thing my dad says all the time. I was like, hey, there it is.
Class.
But yeah.
What would you give it as a rating?
I'd give it an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. Very good.
You're disappointed with that?
No, I think I'm getting 8.5.
Yeah, okay.
have you got your rankings for this?
No.
Cool. Well,
you'll know them better than me. I wouldn't even remember.
I don't mean like, oh, what You don't have to go by the number.
Okay.
You gave it, like, so let's do the list.
Can you give me yours first to refresh my memory of what we've watched?
Okay.
You
give me your ranking. We had Jewel, Glengarry, really? Glenn Ross, every time. We had Stand By Me. Mm-hmm. We had this movie, Trainspotting Automobiles.
Uh-huh.
We had In the Mouth of Madness. We had A History of Violence. We had, what's that?
Seven.
Do we have eight? We did have eight. What was the other one we did?
Let me think. Hang on, I'll have it here. Let me just click into our podcast. So, History of Violence, The Mountain of Madness, Talk to Me.
Oh, yeah. That's the
You Were Never Really Here as well.
Yay, okay.
Okay.
All right. So, go with your list, or do you want me to go first?
I'll go first now that I have them here. In last place, eighth, was You Were Never Really Here. Hated every second of it.
Get it.
Then number seven was In the Mouth of Madness. Thought it was stupid.
Blasphemy.
Then number six, I would say Stand By Me.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't love it. Then I would say, this is going to take a while. History of Violence.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be number five.
That's five. Yes, yeah, so you have four left.
Four left. Then I would go with Jewel, Talk to Me, and there's only one more.
Glengarry Glen Ross.
Oh, and Glengarry. I would go Glengarry Glen Ross, and probably go Planes.
This is top.
Top. Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. So yeah,
very good.
Okay, sorry, that took
forever. I'm gonna go last one. Is Stand By Me.
Ooh.
It was okay, you know. It's fine.
It's because it was a my pick, wasn't it?
Well, not because.
No, yeah,
it just is as a cause.
Yeah, yeah.
Of then I'm gonna go Talk to Me.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm gonna go In the Mouth of Madness. And then I'm gonna go this movie.
Okay.
Then I'm going to go with History of Violence. And then I'm going to go with Jewel. And then You Were Never Really Here. And Glengarry Glen Ross.
Oh, that's number one.
Just.
Brilliant.
We got two Ed Harris this.
That's true.
That's fucking class. How did we do that, huh?
I know.
Completely, I wasn't.
I seen a thing Tony put of the scene from Glengarry Glen Ross. It just made me appreciate the scene again. Of like,
oh, yeah.
You were, what are you going to do about it? Piss off a baby.
Asshole.
What the fuck are you going to do about it? Asshole. Okay. So now that we've got that out of the way, Terry.
Yes, hold on.
I'll vamp. So, well, 90-minute movies. I didn't think he'd go for it, folks, but he did.
100-minute.
100-minute movies.
Do you want to know what the next miniseries we're going to be doing is?
Yeah. I'd love to.
Andy, we're going to right a wrong and cover one of the biggest blind spots you have in your filmography. We're doing 7 weeks of Tom Cruise.
Okay.
We're doing all the Mission Impossible movies.
Mission, okay.
Do you choose to accept this mission?
Yeah, I accept.
Yes, Andy. Now, I was thinking, all right.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough out of you, Fred. Maybe we'll see you at the end. Great.
Yeah, okay. Cruise. Action.
Loads of great actors. And yeah. Ving Rhames.
Yeah.
You have Ving Rhames in... I think he's in all seven. I think he's the only other one that's in all seven. One of the movies is in for 5 minutes and got paid $4 million.
Wow.
So, you know, literally shows up at the end of one of the movies.
Mad. What a gig if you get
it. Tom Cruise looking out for his brochachos there.
You get on Tom Cruise's good side, he looks after you.
I was thinking, though, considering this week is the 25th anniversary of a Will Smith classic, and I know it's been one that's been on your list. I don't know if you've seen it. I think maybe we take before we get into Mission Impossible, we hit that next week.
What is it?
Talking about Enemy of the State.
I'm less, you know what, I'm less
okay.
enthused about that. Tell you what.
You can say no.
I don't think I want to see it now. Because But I heard a story, by the way, about Will Smith getting railed up the ass by his by some other guy. This is a new thing that's coming out now.
Actually,
yeah, like his former friend was like, I walked in like, he's getting, it's like, it's hard, you know, and the interviewer is like, okay, let me just unpack this. You're saying he was in a gay relationship, and like a few people have said the same thing. Anyway, that's not beside the point. I tell you what I'd love. Do me a favor.
Sure.
You know, I say I'm doing you a favor by watching movies. Yeah. Let's just not watch a movie
for next week.
Yeah.
Fine.
We always do that in between.
Fine. Right, we're going to do that.
It'll be our greatest episode that we've ever done.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. No roadmap whatsoever.
I will have plans. Okay. Don't worry.
All right.
I'll show you what life could be like.
Where can the good people find us?
You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. On Instagram and Twitter, it's What's So Great About Pod. And on Instagram and TikTok, it's What's So Great About Pod. And on Twitter, it's WSGEA Pod. And where else can they find us, Tim?
You can find us over on the Patreon. For the low, low fee of €5, you get access to all our back catalogues of our miniseries Behind the Wall there. We've got What's So Great About the MCU, What's So Great About Ryan Gosling, What's So Great About 90s Action Movies, and What's So Great About Big Willie's Flops, a.k.a. Will Smith's Bad Movies. There's also a metric ton of other great stuff there.
It's true.
Bunch of top fives. We're just about to record another Pitch It in H, where we pitch each other movie ideas that are always a bit unhinged and fun. And yeah, generally, if you like us off the leash and get a bit wacky, that's a good place to be. If you can't afford the €5 a month, well, you can do me another favor.
Fuck off.
You can give me a rating and a review. Now, Andy, in this movie,
here we go.
Steve Martin has 3 children, but I don't want a 3-star review. I want a 5-star review.
Okay.
Something. Andy, in this movie, Del Wilkes' wife has been dead for 8 years, but I don't want an 8-star review. Well, I want a 5-star review. Okay. Do you want one more?
Why not? Let's do it.
Andy, in this movie.
Yeah.
Lost it.
He had $700 robbed.
I was thinking that over 700. You know, there was $236 in Del Wilkes' wallet, but I don't want a 236-star review. I want a 5-star review. Okay,
that's how we do it.
Thanks so much for supporting the pod, guys, and listening out there.
Thanks. And
we'll see you next week for nothing.
No, don't build it like that. If you want to see me and pure me and Terry without talking about that movie that you haven't seen in 10 years, next week is the one for you. And it's just a little taster of what the Patreon will be like. So check us out there. And that's how you do that.
Goodbye.
Hate is all the world has even seen lately. I know why you wanna hate. nomination for this life, and where they keep it. It's kinda sad when you don't know the meaning, but everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. I don't even know what I should say, cause I'm an idiot, a loser, microphone abuser. I analyze every second I exist, beating up my mind every second with my fist. And everybody wanna run, wanna run. Everybody wanna hide from the gun. From the gun. You can take a ride through this life if you want, but you can't take the edge off the knife. No, sir. And now you want your money back. Money back. But you're denied, cause your brain's fried from the sack. And there ain't nothing I can do, cause life is a lesson, you'll learn it when you're through. I know why you wanna hate me. I know why you wanna hate me. I know why you wanna hate me. Cause hate is all the world has even seen lately. I know why you wanna hate me. I know why you wanna hate me. Now I know why you wanna hate me. Cause hate is all the world has even seen lately.
The fuck? Okay.
I find myself now, and you can include this at the end of something, where it's like somebody annoys me in work or something, or I find somebody like, from not my team, but somebody other's team, like they made a mistake. The first thing that pops into my head is Ed Harris. Like, what are you doing?
I know.
No.
Don't be to me like that, Phil. What are you doing?
Don't do it like that. No.
Jesus Christ.